Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 36, Rocks Tell Stories, with author and artist Patty Rokas, with the new book, He is Risen.
I thought I was going to solve all the questions. I was going to journal and write and figure everything out. But instead, I just became really quiet and became, I felt like a piece of moss or a tree. I just became one with nature.
Hi, this is Kevin Murphy, author of The Three Rooms, where I help people change your thoughts to change your life. You're connected to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, helping you overcome adversity to find your promised life.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Pathway to Promise podcast is brought to you by the book, The Promise Given Life, by Reverend Dr. Brad Miller, The 40-Day Way to Your Promised Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. You can be part of the launch team and get on the wait list for this new book, which is coming out later this year, by going over to pathwaypromise.com. This episode is also brought to you by Patty Rokas, who brings you a free downloadable resource called Making Angels, an easy way to make rock art for children. It's a downloadable video. Our author today, who we're speaking to, is Patty Rokas, and she has an incredible story to talk to us about the power and the transformative power of connecting with nature and expressing it through art. My name is Dr. Brad Miller, and the Pathway to Promise podcast is all about helping you transform your life, to help you overcome any adversity in your life, and to know that you have a promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And we bring you teaching and ways to help you to overcome whatever things are going on in your life. Maybe it's divorce, maybe it's a financial problem, maybe it's a health-related thing. We all have them, but there's got to be ways to get through that. I've spent a lifetime in ministry and studied life transformation and like to teach about this area and bring you great guests like Patty Rokas today. Today is day three of our 40-Day Way Challenge. We're in the 40 days in March and April. Each Monday through Saturday, we are teaching a lesson or bringing you a great interview, which teaches you something about how to transform your life. And I've made commitments to you, and you can make commitments to me, and we can be in relationship to one another. Just connect up with us at our website, pathwaypromise.com, or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/pathwaypromise. We're committed to help life transformation happen for you, and each day we have a theme, and today's theme is nature and the power, the transformative power of nature. We have an incredible artist guest with us today, Patty Rokas, who has an incredible story to tell, and we're going to get into that with her just in a minute. I just want to share with you that she wasn't always an artist. She started off her life and her career in the technology field, where she was a product manager for companies like Nike and Microsoft, and she is involved with many things in the tech field. But however, she calls herself a recovering product manager because overcoming some difficulties in her life, some issues growing up and some other issues, she found herself needing to take some time off, and she went off on a three-month camping trip. And there she discovered the power and the restorative nature of nature itself. And among other things, she discovered rocks, and she considers rocks to be a love note from God, which is irresistible to her. And she then turned these rocks into artwork. And she first started off with a book that had on the Christmas theme, A Savior is Born, which came out last year. And her new book is He is Risen, which is about the last week in the mortal life of Jesus Christ. And both these books are artistic wonders, and she has a number of of incredible videos and how-to videos and artistic videos on her website, rockstellstories.com. And her book is available in bookstores everywhere, and we'll put links to her book and her videos on our website, pathwaypromise.com. It's a pleasure to have with us today, author and artist, Patty Rokas.
Brad, thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to talk with you today.
Well, you do really have a fascinating story that is really, really unique, in my experience at least, that you are an artist, and you are an artist that uses a medium that to express stories in your life using rocks. And that's an incredible thing. And what we're about here is helping people get through adversity in their life through all kinds of means. Sometimes it's through music, and sometimes it's through therapy and reading and writing and other things that they've done. But you've done it through this process here. But I want to hear more specifically about your artwork here in a minute. But I also want to hear kind of what motivated you to get started here. You've had some challenging pieces in your life. Tell us a story about how it came to be that you found working with rocks a way to help you process some challenging points in your life. Give us your story a little bit about Patty.
Thanks, Brad. I'm really glad that you're starting with this piece of adversity as opposed to the art, because I'm really not an artist, which surprises me and everybody else, because I couldn't draw a stick figure if I had to. And I never intended on doing physical art for anyone. This came as part of my healing from the adversity and the struggles that I've had in life. And if you'll just let me briefly start with my childhood. So because of my childhood, and I was raised in a challenging situation, to say the least, and with some severe hardships that really shaped how I saw the world and how I felt about myself. And that just drug along with me through the rest of my life, even though it might not have looked like it. You know, I was working for Nike and Microsoft and appeared to have everything under control and looking good on the outside. But by the time I was in my 30s, I really fell apart. And it was through, I had done counseling, and I've always been a faith-based person. And so I've always turned to God. And all those things had helped me for sure. But nothing healed the very center wound that was deep inside of me until much later in life. And that's kind of a background to why I needed something, a catalyst, if you will, to help me through my beliefs about myself and my struggles. And it wasn't until my late 40s that this finally transformed for me. And I was able to come across this wonderland of rocks and pebbles in nature that can look like people and places. And that specific story, I'll be happy to tell you. But I just wanted to let you know that there isn't this nice fairy tale background. I don't think any of us have that. Mm-hmm. There were some real struggles that I needed to work through.
And so in growing up and in your adult life and your corporate life, you had some success, but some real challenges that you were less than satisfied. So tell us what some of the actions that you took. I think you, nature was involved with helping you turn things around a little bit. Tell us some of the actions that you took to deal with this sense of adversity you were having.
Yeah, well, nature, as you said, has always been a critical part of me just feeling at peace. And I think that's what we're all looking for is peace and contentment, regardless of our life situation. Really, the very first story about the rocks was in my 30s, I hurt my back severely. And at the time, I was working on contract. I was renting. I wasn't in a relationship. Everything just felt like it wasn't what I wanted. And then on top of that, I hurt my back so badly, all I could do was crawl the first couple of days. And the remedy turned out to be a lot of walking, just gingerly walking. And a couple of months into this, I was feeling so crushed by the situation and so depressed. And I was barely walking down the street trying to do my physical therapy and crying. I just said out loud, I said, God, Heavenly Father, I need to know that you love me. I need to know you're there. I've always believed that, but I just wasn't feeling it. And my life circumstances didn't seem to prove it out. And just as I said that, I noticed something on the ground And I gingerly bent down and picked that up. It was a half of a pecan shell. And if you've ever looked carefully at a pecan shell, the inside half, it's a perfect heart shape. And I looked at that heart shape and, you know, God speaks to each of us very individually. And he spoke to me through that pecan shell, as crazy as that sounds. When I saw that heart, after asking that question of him, this love and this feeling of comfort just poured over me. And my tears changed from being completely frustrated and feeling alone to feeling completely consumed in the love of God. And that was the very beginning of me having a passion for seeing heart shapes in nature, which transformed immediately into seeing heart-shaped rocks, which many people I've discovered because of my books and the heart-shaped rocks in those books. Many people collect heart-shaped rocks. And I decided that those are love notes from God.
It's awesome.
Messages. Every time I see one, I just smile and I know that's God saying, Patty, I love you and it's all going to be just fine.
That is an awesome story. And so you've now started the process then of collecting rocks and kind of getting a message from God through the shells and through the rocks. How did that transition to you to then being able to utilize that to create art and create processes where you've been helpful to others, even therapeutically? Tell us a little bit about how that transformed for you.
Yeah, that began that, along with some other healing and emotional relief and healing that I had, created a passion in me that I wanted to be a catalyst. I wanted to be helpful to other people in them feeling the love of God in overcoming the hurts and the challenges of their lives, but never figured it out. I thought maybe I'd be a counselor, but never did it because I had such a strong career in corporate America with technology and Nike and Microsoft and such. And so I continued on, still single, until I was 44, which was crazy. I never imagined I'd be single and not have children, which was a great heartache to me. But I finally married a wonderful man, but the marriage didn't work. And after 3 years, when that didn't work out, I was completely crushed. And my self-confidence was obliterated. And I just could not understand what had happened and why I wasn't lovable and why he wouldn't want me and all that. Mm-hmm. So I put a tent in my trunk the day that I left and went to the Pacific Northwest and camped for 3 months. Just to figure out myself, what happened, and to try to heal.
It's just on your own, right? Just on your own, camping, okay.
Yeah, I went to my people at work and said, I just have to take a break, and I left. And it was a most remarkable 3 months. And that was the beginning of the deepest healing of my life. I didn't know at the time that just being in nature was so powerful. And I thought I was going to solve all the questions. I was going to journal and write and figure everything out. But instead, I just became really quiet and I felt like a piece of moss or a tree. Mm-hmm. I just became one with nature. And after 3 months, I was so frustrated that I hadn't used the time well to solve my problems. It took me several years later, when these rock books came forward and these images came forward, for me to look back and realize that God just needed to calm me down. He needed to create a quiet place inside of me where he could be. I was so noisy and so hurt and so frustrated, there wasn't any room for him.
But sound like you needed a time, a season of listening and healing and just to be before you could be, so you could be filled up in order to share with others.
Yeah, and I had no idea that's how God worked. You know, always taught in the church, serve others and lose your life so you can be one in God. And all this where I just was so outside of myself and so busy and so working so hard, I didn't realize that I didn't have room for God, even though I was praying every day and I was trying to make that space. I didn't have enough space. So you're right. I came away from that a much quieter person, more reflective and calm. And that created the space in which all kinds of miracles came into my life.
That's awesome. But you had to take action, didn't you? And what I'm getting at is that you chose not to just kind of, you know, just suck yourself into your own misery, whatever that would be, with a divorce and with other things. But you took the action of going off in the off into the wilderness and to be self-aware enough to take that time to heal.
Yeah, and I could have used that time to be miserable, right? I could have.
Well, most people do, be honest with you, as we.
Well, and I have. Plenty of my own pity parties, for sure. Mm-hmm. But nature is so beautiful that I could not help but rejoice in God's creations and noticing the beauty and the wonder from a butterfly to a trillium flower. It was just so beautiful. I could not help but be joyful in that space.
And that seems like that kind of got your artistic juices flowing, whether you saw yourself as an artist or not. You became one, didn't you? You became an artist and such to have your heart touched by the by nature, and then to transform that into art, into books, into videos that are touching to others. Tell us how that happened and how that impact on you has then been impactful to others.
Yeah, thank you. Well, 2 years after that experience in the woods, I really decided that I was really tired of technology. It just didn't represent who I am. I couldn't be creative. I couldn't be feminine, if you will. And I went on a 2-week camping trip to Montana and found the most glorious place of these old growth cedars up in northwestern Montana. And as I was hiking through these old, huge, giant trunked cedars, I thought I was hiking to go through the mountains like I always do, but instead I got drawn to this riverbed. And the riverbed was this dry, huge riverbed full of beautifully colored large stones. And I walked through that riverbed, and those rocks were so pretty. I kept pocketing them. And I don't know what to do with this, but I got to take it home. And pretty soon all my pockets were filled. Fortunately, I had a bucket in my trunk. And after 2 weeks in the woods, I had a bucket full of beautiful rocks. No idea what to do with those. I just thought they'd be pretty, maybe in a path or something. But I had 1 day left of my vacation. In my pajamas, I padded out to my trunk and got that bucket and spilled it out on the porch just to push those pretty rocks around. And I noticed the one rock looked just like somebody kneeling in prayer. And I thought, how interesting. I put a little round rock above it for a head. And there I had Mary, as I thought, kneeling before Angel Gabriel. I looked around. I thought, could there be an angel in here? And there was a long rock for the angel with a triangle for a wing and a circle for a head. And now with 6 rocks, I had the Annunciation, or the first scene of the nativity story. And so I thought, oh, my heavens, this is kind of juvenile, but so interesting. So I dug through the rest of that bucket, and the entire nativity story was in that one bucket of random rocks. And I was completely stunned. I took some pictures with my iPhone, sent them out to friends going, isn't this crazy? And my friend said, I want a book. And I thought that was insane. Like, who wants a book of rocks and pebbles? But I ended up putting one together. I went on Facebook, and I'm not a big Facebook person, wasn't before, but I did a little 2-minute video just in my little Nike shirt and said, hey, here's my story, here's my book, anybody want one? Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I'd sell maybe 25, but I had to print 50 for economies of scale. And to my complete astonishment, in 2 weeks, I had sold 900.
Awesome. That is so cool. That's a God thing there, if I ever heard
that. That is a God thing.
Yeah. So now this has turned into something different, isn't it? Suddenly you've got not only something for you, you've got something that has obviously impacted other people. Tell me a story, Patty, about how your art, and by the way, there's some your story you told about creating things. There are some really awesome videos you have on your website about, you know, your process of doing this, of sorting out the rocks. And I just think I would commend that to people on your rockstellstories.com site, that there's some really cool stuff there. But tell me now about maybe some stories you may have heard reflected back to you about how your work has been transformational to other people. Give me a good news story.
Thanks. I was so befuddled by these rocks because they're so simple. And I had hoped that a life of experience and, that I'd have to have something a little more significant to give to the world, a little more sophisticated. But these rocks have turned out to be an incredible blessing because there is something really powerful about stopping everything else we're doing in life, just hunting for rocks, touching them, feeling them, playing with them. It calms the brain down and allows us to feel and create that space for God that I had discovered several years previously, but I had no idea that you could do that with the rocks, just touching and playing with them. So I have received all kinds of letters and pictures from families where they have done their own rock scenes based on my books. Then they've got a model to go by, just an example, and the joy that it's brought to those families. But I really want to share this one story that just still blows my mind. And I was at a, it was just this last summer, I was at a retirement party of a dear friend, and they had a whole bunch of people over to their house to celebrate. And I figured they were all believers because my friends and I are, and I just assumed everybody that came was. And I'm meeting a bunch of new people, and this really cute couple in their 60s, just vibrant and darling. We were making introductions, and what do you do? And oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I play with rocks, and haha, you know, that was funny. I said, well, really? And I had a prototype of my Easter book that shows the scenes of the last week of Christ's mortal ministry, those very difficult scenes of the Passion Week. And I pulled that out, and I said, yeah, here, let me show you. And so we sat on the couch, and they started flipping through the book, and they got, at first they smiled and thought it was cute, rocks, you know, telling these, making these pictures. And then they got very quiet. And I got a little uncomfortable and thought, well, gosh, why are they so quiet? And then, but they're flipping through the pages very carefully. And then the wife finally leans over and she says to me, and this just blew my mind. She said, is this what Christians believe? And these are educated people. You know, I thought, you know, whether you believe or not, I thought everybody knew the story, at least, right. You know.
A profound insight, isn't it? My goodness.
And I got to sit with them for 20 minutes and talk about who Jesus is and why he matters and that this is about love. This is not about punishment and judgment. This is about love and how it's about love. And their hearts, you know, I could just see them relax and I could see their interest and curiosity. And I really felt like God was there just wrapping all three of us up in his love. And they said, oh, well, when the book comes out, we want a copy. And I thought, oh, that's really neat. Well, later the hostess, after everybody had left and I was helping clean up, the hostess said to me after I told her the story, she said, Patty, those two are atheists. And although we love them and they've been in our neighborhood for 20 years and we've known them all this time, they've never allowed us to have a conversation about God with them. And so there is something powerful about these books that is healing, about the rock art. It's so non-intrusive, non-threatening. It just allows people to enjoy the art and consider the whole God story in a brand new, fresh way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's relational in a serendipitous type of way where it comes at you in an unexpected way. It sounds like not only older folks can enjoy it, but children and families, folks like this can do that, and that's an awesome thing. Well, you've already touched on it here, Patty, but you've got a new book out now about the Easter story. He is Risen, Rocks Tell the Story of Easter. And that's available now as we talk here in the first part of March of 2019. Tell us a little bit about this new book and about what that's all about and how that can be a wonderful addition to people's lives.
Yeah, thanks. I would love to tell you about it. The first book was the Nativity one, the story I told you, and that was just this last Christmas, a Savior is born. And like I said, that was just random rocks, you know, in that bucket. But when HarperCollins said, we'll take an Easter book, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to take this one seriously. And so I was pretty deliberate as opposed to random in this one. And this shows the major events of the Holy Week, the last week of what happened to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And telling the stories purely in rocks, no other, not twigs, you know, nothing else. You're forced just to use whatever shapes are in those rocks to do that. And I have to tell you, I'm not an artist, but I felt like I had angels with me. I mean, I had to, because I don't have the talents, that helped me find the rocks and organize them into each of these scenes of telling this. And it's so delightful to see how kids will look at this book. And then they just go, oh, never thought of it. And they run outside, go get their own rocks, and they just start recreating these scenes. And you can imagine what that's doing for families. You know, three major things I'm thinking of. You know, first of all, the kids have put their devices down.
that's a miracle in and of itself right there.
That is a miracle. They're just touching the things that God created. You know, they're finding the wonder of nature, which if that's all it did, that's enough to get people back in touch with their own hearts, reconnected to nature, which, call it God or not, I think anytime we're connected to what he's created, we connect to him. But then they bring the rocks home and they start making their own stories, and it can be their story. It can have nothing to do with God. Even just telling their story gives them an opportunity to put on the outside what is stuck on the inside. And that's hugely healing. But they're often taking a look at the pictures I've done, so they have an idea. And now they have a reason to think about these stories. You know, why did Jesus ride on a donkey on Palm Sunday into a whole group of people that were celebrating him? Now we can have a conversation about the story that we may never have had before, because we're playing with rocks and it's easy and it's not a big deal and it's just interesting. So now families are connecting at a deeper level on things that really matter. And so that's my hope, is that people draw closer to God through nature and through their relationships, and they come to know themselves because they're able to be quiet enough to allow that space to be filled with truth and light.
Yeah, it's awesome. That is awesome. Well, you know, Patty, there certainly is a spiritual, historical nature and powerful nature of rocks and rock stacking. Mm-hmm. That I'm sure you're familiar with this to some degree, and from Native American groups, but I'm thinking of in Israel. I've traveled to Israel a couple of times, and among many of the graves there, they will stack rocks on the graves because in that part of the world, there's not much grass or vegetation or anything else, so rocks have a powerful image. And so for in honor of the legacy of your ancestors and a spiritual power, rocks are stacked in such a way that has symbolism, and among certain Native American groups is that as well. And coming to my mind as we're talking about this here, the power of moving rocks around, and I think there's something to be said for that. And of course, there's biblical imageries of the rocks will speak and so on, and returning rocks into bread and so on. There's lots of imagery that way that I think is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me. Look,
my favorite. Oh,
sorry. You had something else to say there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that too in the scriptures, that stones and rocks are kind of a big deal and referenced often. My favorite one though is when Jesus referenced them, and he actually inferred that he anthropomorphized them. Even it was, you remember when he was coming to Jerusalem and the people that loved him, you know, the multitudes were just thrilled and were celebrating, and the Pharisees, the priests at the time, were not happy with that and told Jesus that he should silence them. And in Luke 19, verse 40, he basically tells them, he says, if my disciples, if they were to keep quiet, and this is the phrase that just is so amazing to me, he says, if they were to keep quiet, then the stones would cry out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I feel like there's crying out now. Mm-hmm. You know, I finally gave them a chance. And now every time some child or family puts a story together, they give them a voice and give them a chance to cry out.
So that the inanimate, in a way, becomes animate, or at least provides a message.
Yeah.
Well, Patty, I'd like to ask my guests two or three kind of consistent questions about the process that you use. What's one way that you call upon a higher power to guide you in what you're about here? Do you feel like a higher power is at work?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't do any of this without God helping me. So every time I start an art project, and every time I'm out in nature just picking up rocks, I always start with a conversation with this higher power, with God. And now as I've matured, that conversation doesn't stop with an amen at the end of the prayer. That conversation just goes on, especially when I'm in nature. And I just talk freely to God as I go and as I make the art and feel like I'm partnering with him.
That's awesome. And the second part of what I would ask you about is about the about love. But love, I believe, is the kind of the fuel that helps move things around. And it has to do with interpersonal relationships or feelings of love. How has any support from other people or for some sense of loving relationships been involved here with you in this process, or how you either feel supported or can make a contribution to others that's on an emotional level?
Mm. Brad, you have such excellent questions. This is so pertinent to me. We all have limiting beliefs that we created at different times in our life, usually childhood. And one of my pervasive limiting beliefs is that I am alone in the world. And you can see how I've lived that out by not marrying until my 40s, and now I'm single again. And so it's hard for me to allow people to help me and be in my life. And that is probably the most damaging aspect of my life. And these books, I think part of the gift of these books to me from God, why he let me create these, was to teach me how severely I need others and how severely I need to serve others. And when I have these relationships, as you say, that's when life, it's harder to have relationships. They're complicated, but that's where the joy of life comes, is in relationships. And I could not have come this far with these books and with these videos and the website and everything I'm doing, sharing this message, without these beautiful people around me who have supported me and encouraged me and kept me going when I didn't really think I could do this.
That's awesome. Then just one more. What are some of the, anyone who gets anything truly done in life, you know, you got to have, I believe you have to, you know, have a bias towards taking action, which you did when you, you know, were not satisfied with your situation, with your life and divorce and so on, and went off to the woods. And then we all have to, I believe, you have to draw on a higher power, a spiritual force, than the powerful power of the loving relationships. But we have to apply it to our lives. And that takes discipline. Mm-hmm. And I would just be curious what some of your disciplinary practices are, or what helps you to get things done that make an impact that are transformational for yourself and others.
Mm, gosh, your questions, Brad. Where do you get these? They're so good. And they're so pertinent to every single person. I believe that because we are children of the great creator, that we're a chip off the old block, if you will. We are creators.
Chip off the rock, maybe?
I like that better, yes.
Sorry. Yeah. It was just there.
Therefore, we are creators. And when we are not creating, we're not satisfied. Mm-hmm. And so your point about taking action and being deliberate in life, that's all part of being a creator. And so I think that we are designed, it's in our spiritual DNA, to create. And that might be create a relationship. It might be to, it doesn't have to be a physical thing, but it's to take action. And when we don't take action in life, it's just a downward spiral of misery. So the ways I take action are first I focus on connecting. And I think I'm so distracted because I love being busy. It's how I feel comfortable in life. But when I just stop and shut my eyes and breathe deeply, which I do this every day, and because I believe in a higher power, then I ask for help, which is hugely helpful. Even if somebody is listening doesn't believe in a higher power, I say just ask anyway, because he's there and he does help. Then my mind clears because I'm being silent, and ideas of how I can be in the world, how I can progress, how I can develop, how I can serve. Ideas just flow in. I take notes and then I prioritize. So every day I connect in with the divine by being quiet. Some people meditate, pray, whatever you do. And I take notes when I meditate as ideas come. And then I take action. I make things happen. And it usually means I have to learn something new.
Right. So it's like you have a bit of a process then. You have the meditation process, you take notes, and you find a way to apply it and learn some new skills, things like that. That's awesome. You've really got some fascinating stuff here, Patty, with the rocks telling stories, and I love that that phrase right there, rocks telling stories. Oh. And you've told some great stories too, because I believe in the transformational power of storytelling through conversations like this and through other things that people can share. So what's one last word you might share with our audience for people, how they can take some action and to see something special out of the ordinary in their life, but how can they be aware and be sensitive to those things in their life?
I highly recommend two things. And sometimes we just have to do them on faith that maybe it will help. And the first is to just take a small seed of belief and believe that God cares about us individually. So just that belief that God cares about us individually begins a relationship. He wants us to be like a close friendship, not this huge master of the universe and little old me. He wants us to be close. So believing that he loves me individually is huge. And then stepping outside in nature, you know, it causes us to move, to breathe, and to see beautiful things. Even if it's cold outside or hot outside, I say go outside, connect in with God, and we naturally feel better just by doing those two things.
Yeah. Go outside, connect with God, and you'll feel better. That's a good start, isn't it? That's great. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you with us today on the Pathway to Promise podcast. Our guest today, Patty Rokas, and she has the new book, He Is Risen, Rocks Tells the Story of Easter, and you can find out more about her at rockstellstories.com. How awesome was that interview with Patty Rokas, the author of Rocks Tell Stories, The Story of Easter? And I just hope you picked up some great things in our conversation there that you can use as takeaways in your life and to help you to get perspective on overcoming any adversity that you have in your life. That's why we're here at Pathway Promises, to help you overcome adversity, to get some tools and some ways to help you to do that. Patty, as she indicated, had some real issues in her life, had some real issues when growing up, some difficulties there, and a divorce which occurred in her life, and some real physical ailments with a bad back. And she took time out to heal in nature. And I think that's an important thing here for transformation to take place, to take time out, to breathe, to turn off the cell phone, to get out of the hullabaloo of our own lives and to slow down a little bit. And for her, taking long walks and going on long trips and do long camping trips into the woods, and she began to notice things that we wouldn't notice otherwise. Ever talking about noticing a big conch shell that was in the shape of a heart and noticing rocks that were in various shapes, which she formed into the artwork. And she learned to listen and to calm down. And I want to encourage you to do that in your own life. Listen, calm down, turn off the cell phone, turn off the TV, turn off the computer. Be quiet, listen, breathe, take a walk in nature. Do something like that. Become one with nature. And that's a good thing. Find your local park. Take a walk in your own backyard. Take a drive to a state park. Whatever it is, do something where you can begin to notice things that you don't always notice. Not too long ago in my neighborhood where I live, in fact, I haven't remembered, it had to be Christmas Eve during the day. I was driving down the road just where I live, and right above me, flying right above my head, was something I have never seen before or since in my community, a bald eagle. It was right there, and it was definitely a bald eagle. It was flying just above my own car as I drove slowly down the street, and that was an awesome sight. And it must made my Christmas a better experience. But I wouldn't have noticed it if I had been so absorbed in other things I had to do for Christmas. Pay attention. Slow down. So I would encourage you to do that. And I hope you heard how her connection with nature helped her get closer with God in her life and fill herself up spiritually. And then she was able to express herself artistically, even though she didn't see herself as an artist. Initially, she was able to express herself artistically through her books, Rocks Cry Out. There's a story, the Christmas story of the Nativity, and the Easter story, which she has right now, the Easter story. And I just commend those to you. Go onto her website, rockstellstories.com. There are some really awesome videos there, including a video that she's making available as a downloadable gift for you. And it's about a guide, a downloadable guide to making angels, about how you can start making rock art with children. And it's a cool thing. Just go check that out. You can do that by going to our website, pathwaypromise.com/036. That's our episode number 036. There's two more things I want to give you as takeaways. And that is that she recommended and talked about how it's so important when you do this that you believe that God cares about you individually, that God isn't just some, you know, corporate thing or some mass, you know, think about only the masses. But God cares about you individually. And to be very intentional, the second thing, be very intentional about stepping out into nature. Some great lessons from Patty Rokas. Go to get her downloadable book there, and it will be helpful to you. We also have a gift for you as well here at PathwayPromise.com. We have an upcoming book called The Promise Given Life, Your 40-Day Way to Your Promised Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. And you can head over to PathwayPromise.com, and there we have a place where you can get on the wait list, which is also really on the list that helps us to be on the launch team to help us put this together. You can be part of the research on this. We want to be helpful to you here at Pathway Promise. I'm Dr. Brad Miller. I spent many years in ministry and have studied life transformation. I have a doctoral degree in that, and just love you. I care for you, and I want us to be in interaction with one another. So you can respond to me through the website, pathwaypromise.com, or at facebook.com/pathwaypromise, where we look to be helpful to you. We'll be with you each day during March and April 2019 for 40 lessons each Monday through Saturday. We take Sundays off, and we will publish an episode each day to give you some teaching and some leadership here. And respond to us and tell your friends about PathwayPromise.com, because we know that we can be helpful to you, because we're about the power of a promise, the power of a promise to change your life. That's why we call this the pathway to your promised life. So remember, my good friends, my good, good friends, to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your pathway to promise.